This is Transit Unplugged. I'm Paul Comfort. Today is part two of our podcast interviews from Tulsa, Oklahoma, here in the U.S. In part one, last week, we spoke with Scott Marr, the CEO of Tulsa Transit, now known as Metrolink Tulsa, and he shared about the transit system. On today's episode, we speak with Chase Phillips, Director of Planning for Metrolink Tulsa, and he shares about what's commonly known as placemaking, how Tulsa became such an important city in America back in the 1920s and 30s, with the largest airport in the world at the time. Together, he and I ride and walk around downtown Tulsa and take the hidden tunnels underneath the city to see some of its fabulous history, its Art Deco architecture, and hidden gems. As Chase says, it shows preservation and communities valuing things that have been previously built by other generations. We also discuss his career path from MPO to transit agency and his vision for transit in this amazing city. We also have a companion video coming out on our Transit Unplugged TV show, which will show you some of what we discuss in this interview. Plus, check out the show notes for this podcast for some great pictures we took inside these buildings that we visit on the episode. Now let's join Chase Phillips as we ride through Central Tulsa.
So Route 66 really has a storied place in American pop culture, right? And so Tulsa plays a central part of that. Cyrus Avery, the father of the Mother Road, he was a former Tulsa County Commissioner. He really, played a very crucial part and bringing Route 66 to Tulsa as the main access point across Arkansas River. It's not just about wide roads and open highways and fast cars and classic cars. It's also about the people. It's about bringing connection to places. Introducing that to other people, being able to give them access to your community. And so a lot of really cool, beautiful things that you see in that.
Chase, so tell me about the Art Deco here in Tulsa.
Yeah, so Art Deco is another one of those aspects of this historical period kind of in the 1920s when Tulsa really started forming its identity as a city and as a place and its people. Kind of going back to the late 1800s. So I believe oil was first discovered in Tulsa in 1901. So fast forward from oil discovery in 1901, within the next 20 years, Tulsa completely exploded in terms of wealth that really stemmed from that oil industry. We have the busiest airport in the world, and I believe that extended all the way up into 1960. You have individuals like Waite Phillips and Phillips Petroleum constructing a lot of this a lot of these structures downtown that are, has this beautiful Art Deco architecture, but also like an underground tunnel system that really kind of helps them safely navigate between their residence and their bank. And so there really is a lot of history involved in the built environment that is here in Tulsa. So you do see that we have a very large concentration of Art Deco buildings, lots of old cathedrals and church structures that are, also exhibit a lot of that. So as you drive down Boston Avenue,
which is where we're at right now,
this is my favorite street in Oklahoma by far.
It's awesome.
It's gorgeous. So, and you do have a little mixed, more modern buildings,
yes,
but you very much see this Art Deco aesthetic that is very portrayed all throughout Tulsa. Our marketing and our identity, it's a part of who we are.
Let me ask you this. This is what's amazing. We're on the main drag, Boston Avenue. There's not one car around us. We're here in the afternoon around lunchtime, and it's wide open. I've never driven in these are, 20, 30 story buildings around me, and there's nobody around me.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, especially, and you do have a lot of people, right? So that's one of the trends that's definitely extended into Tulsa. We're starting to reclaim a lot of that empty travel space and make that street cafes for local businesses, because there's
it's beautiful.
All of these businesses,
yes,
really are.
They're all alive and thriving. Yeah,
absolutely.
But it's not like masses of people around me in cars. I love it.
Yeah, it's very, really cool. So yeah, it's awesome.
And some of the iron wrought work and all that, it just, you can see that people put a lot of money into this town.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And bringing it back, right? That's a big theme, is that like a lot of these buildings sat decayed for a long time.
You mentioned tunnel systems. What's that about?
Yeah. So right where we're standing right here, connecting a lot of these older structures, a lot of these older buildings, there's a network of tunnels. And so at least for part of those, I know that they were originally built for a lot of your executives in the petroleum industry so that they could safely navigate between like their places of residence and then also, you know, the banks and different buildings and wherever they worked at. In the 1920s, there was a lot of abducting of really wealthy people. And so that was a means that they could provide safe passage for them and their families.
We've been driving through Tulsa. Now we get out of the car and take a walking tour of the city. Join Chase and I in downtown Tulsa.
How big is the downtown area, would you say? I mean, give us a scope of where we're standing here.
It's about downtown Tulsa is about a square mile. Okay. So that's and it's really defined by the interstate highway system, the interdispersal loop. So it's got a very definite geographic boundaries. Downtown Tulsa has really come a long way in the last two decades. We've made a lot of quality of life improvements, a lot of economic activity and investments, and just trying to bring people into downtown. If you go, you know, three blocks east of here, you've got developments that just simply didn't exist in the 90s. And now it's a great place that people want to live. You see families moving into downtown. It's all about placemaking, transit, transportation. All of that is all a part of the equation that's making Tulsa.
So like right where we're standing here in front of this big tower, over to our right is a place that says Daily Grill. Now that looks like the graphics on it looks like it could be from the 1920s. And then right next to it is a fancy new place. It's like they're blending it all together, updating. It's very cool looking here.
Yeah, for sure.
Americana, kitschy, nostalgic, art deco.
Yeah.
Punk deco. A guy told me they're calling some of the stuff that's out here on Route 66.
I wasn't joking.
It's a very unique place, man.
I wasn't joking when I said Tulsa, like Route 66, that whole period is very much a part of our culture and identity. We promote it everywhere we can. So Americana, we really capture that spirit in modern day life.
So Chase, Route 66 goes right through the heart of Tulsa. And you've got an amazing transit system here that includes a bus rapid transit or BRT line. It's called the Aero, which I think is cool, A-E-R-O, kind of a throwback to how you had the biggest airport in the country back in the 30s. But tell us about the new BRT line you have planned for Route 66, hopefully in time for its centennial celebration in 2 years.
Absolutely, yeah. So we're very excited about the role in that integration of bus rapid transit and Route 66. So a little bit of backstory. So our BRT, our vision for the BRT is really to introduce a lot of Tulsans to public transportation. But then as just a functional piece of transportation, we really see the BRT as this connection point for all of our other services. So we have microtransit, that's kind of a new type of service that we've introduced to Tulsa. And then we also have our existing local bus service. We really see the BRT as being an anchor point, if you will, for a lot of those other services to feed into.
So your town is really, in my mind, going through a resurgence, and transit is at the center of it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I would really say a lot of the economic activity that we have really is centered around, I do want to say the transit is certainly playing a part of that. So here's a good way to look at it. So with our first BRT, we had a lot more pushback. People really weren't that excited about it. We had neighborhoods that said we don't want BRT stations anywhere close to us. With the second BRT, our Route 66 BRT, that's now planned and designed, completely different story. People are asking for stations. We have city councilors kind of jockeying to have it extended into their district farther. A totally different approach and experience for us than what the first BRT was. And transit is obviously a huge part of that. Transit success.
Yes.
Part of that. So.
Yeah. So. And we got a bus coming by us now. Tulsa Transit. You're gonna re-logo all them, right? With the new name.
Yep. Yeah, we are.
Now Chase and I are ready to dive down into the tunnels underneath the city. They're open. You can walk through them, but a lot of people don't know about them. Chase knows the ins and outs of all the tunnels, and we walk through several buildings in downtown Tulsa and popped up into amazing, fabulous architecture. You could check out the photos in the show notes of this podcast. Here we go.
Yeah, so the tunnel system got lots of history. Kind of built, much of it was constructed, I believe, in the 1920s. So we're going to enter that now.
We're going down a staircase with brass handles on the side. It's dark. We're going into a really dark tunnel with lit up on the sides.
Yeah.
Cameras everywhere and pictures of what these buildings used to look like. And we're in a tunnel right now.
Yeah, so you actually saw in that picture back there. So that blimp.
Yeah.
So the top of that tower is actually, I believe it was designed as a moor for
the blimp.
For airships. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so, and there are definitely a couple pictures that are kind of historical that are older that show kind of the blimp flying around. I don't know if one ever actually moored on that spot, but we like to think that it was.
So we're in these tunnels underneath downtown Tulsa, and we're going to pop up inside. What?
One of the other towers, right? So I believe the Philcade Tower is the one this tunnel will jump right up to. But again, these are this 1920s architecture deriving from the oil boom that really the Route 66 era where Tulsa became Tulsa. So we're going to go.
Mid-Continent Tower.
Mid-Continental Tower. So the funny thing about Mid-Continent Tower, so this one, you'll see a lot of the pictures. You'll see part of this building, and it's not nearly as tall as what it is today. It actually was had another 20 floors added on top of it, cantilevered over. So it's a very old building, but it was extended. So we're seeing a lot of this architecture that's just very much a part of Tulsa's identity.
So we're inside like a bank, and it's got phenomenal chandeliers that look like they're in an old, I don't know how you would even describe that, the ceiling artwork. You don't get this anymore.
No.
In buildings.
No, you don't.
The ceiling artwork looks like we're in some kind of fantastic castle or something, a Western castle.
Yeah. Lots of preservation and communities valuing things that have been previously built by other generations. A lot of that preservation is really prominent here. So.
Yeah, that's a great way to say it. Things, preserving things that were built by other generations.
Yeah, so we're in Mid-Continent Tower.
There's an old barbershop right there.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So look at the stained glass.
Beautiful stained glass.
It's
some really pretty.
Portraying the city skyline.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Amazing. Marble ceilings, walls, floor. Wow. This was money. Big money.
Yeah.
And the Titans of Industry, a big statue in front of us of men twisting an oil rig.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So we're sitting here at the Grill 415 Tulsa. This is just, I can't even describe how it looks, but it's like the oldest, coolest hotel you've been in and a little grill here. You said you used to eat here when you worked
here? Yeah, I used to come down here a lot. Yeah, and grab a burger. Yeah.
So how did you get into all this kind of work, transportation? You worked here at the MPO, right?
I did, yeah. So I don't know, that's kind of an interesting question. I got into transportation probably when I lived in Washington State, actually, and a friend got me a job with the DOT. And so I worked in the state engineering office. Randomly, I was in Portland, picked up a book about city planning. I didn't know what city planning was at that time. Fell in love with it. We decided to move back to Oklahoma. I went back to grad school for city planning. Right after that, got a job with the MPO in Tulsa. I don't know. I fell in love with people and places and things that connect them. And that was really kind of how I am here in transit now.
That's interesting. Yeah. So Jessica Mefford-Miller, the CEO in Phoenix at Valley Metro, we were just with her. And she has her degrees like in geography.
Uh-huh.
And she said it was the same thing. It was the marriage of the place, the people, and now the mobility between it that really made her fall in love with it.
Yeah, for sure. Same story for me.
Yeah. And so then, how long did you work for the MPO?
I worked there about 5 years. Yeah.
And you worked right here in downtown in all these cool buildings. That's how you know about all the tunnels.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know a lot more about Tulsa's history than a lot of Tulsans, to be honest.
Yeah.
So it's because I'm working in downtown. I'm interacting with these pieces of history, right? And yeah, for sure. Just became a student in my environment. So.
And so then what happened? You got attracted to the transit system and wanted to go and work for them?
Yeah, so while I was working for the MPO, I actually kind of was the one that tasked with a lot of the transit projects while I was there. And so that was really, I've been working with Tulsa Transit for the better part of the last decade, but only formally for the last 3 years.
What's your vision as a planning director? What do you see as fulfilling the board and Scott's vision? How do you see your role kind of implementing that?
Yeah, sure. I'll tell you, one of the biggest things that I really want to do, whether this is formally as a an employee with Tulsa Transit or not. I want to convince Tulsans that transit service is essential and we need to be invested in it. We're doing lots of things to address really important issues in our community, housing, people who are experiencing homelessness, all of that. Transportation is a crucial component to all that that just can't be ignored. The more we invest in transit, the more we're investing in our community and our people, and we're providing ladders of opportunity for them. And so I'm just wanting to convince Tulsans of that more.
That's great.
Yeah.
And what do you think the best way is to do that? For somebody listening who's in a planning department, you know, in Tucson or wherever, you've been doing this a while. What's the way to convince people that transit is, a solution, what I call the gospel of transit?
Yeah. Well, they have to get on the bus, right? So people don't believe something until they get on there and see it. And so the more people that actually get on the bus.
Or the BRT.
The BRT, that's part of the education.
Or the microtransit, right?
Or microtransit, yeah, for sure. So we have to get them to use it. But telling a story, right? We have to make sure that we're capturing their heart, making that connection between that neighbor that they care so much about, who's going through a difficult time in life,
right,
and tying that story to the value of public transportation.
And what is the most fulfilling part of your job to you? I know we've talked about you want to message this out, but what makes you feel like my values and my work are fully integrated? I'm self-actualized. I'm Maslow's hierarchy. What fulfills you the most being a planner?
Yeah, being a public servant. That's got to be it. I love working for city government, local city government, but I very much think of myself as a public servant. I think of my job as it's tax funded. I'm providing a service to my community. There's accountability that goes on with that and expectations. So I really feel a lot of value, personal value, because I'm a public servant.
You've been really involved this week at the Southwest Transit Association conference here in Tulsa, hosting it with about 550 folks from the 8 Southwestern states. Rich, the CEO, has done a great job of pulling this together. What did you take out of the conference? What did you hope other people saw here from Tulsa as they go home that they can, learn from and then take back to their own cities?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, transit agencies in general, the Southwest Transit Association just seems to be a really tight group of people, right? And so, connections are one of the biggest things that you're going to get out of this, right? Relationships, sharing ideas. And so that's always the forefront of one of my takeaways. But I'm also just glad and happy to share my city with other communities. I'm proud of Tulsa, and we want more people to love Tulsa as well and share. Sharing quite the gem that it is to the world.
So. Yeah, it's been a revelation to me. What an amazing city you've got here. I'm excited for the work you're doing to not just put transit in place, but to integrate it into this theme that your city has of bringing people together in a better way.
Yeah. Thanks, Paul.
Hi, this is Tris Hussey, editor of the Transit Unplugged podcast. Thank you for listening to this week's show with our special guest, Chase Phillips. Now, coming up next week on the show, we have a special panel all about hydrogen and hydrogen fuel cells. We have Kurt Conrad of SARTA and Tim Sassine of Ballard Power Systems telling us all about how hydrogen and hydrogen fuel cells could be the fuel of the future for public transit. Hey, have you connected with us on social media? We're on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and X. Give us a shout. We'd love to hear from our transit community. If you have a question, comment, or would like to be a guest on the show, feel free to email us anytime at info@transitunplugged.com. Transit Unplugged is brought to you by Medaxo. At Medaxo, we're passionate about moving the world's people. And at Transit Unplugged, we're passionate about telling those stories. So until next week, ride safe and ride happy.